Christmas can be a very special time, but it can also be a very stressful time. And given everything that has been going on this year, who knows what will unfold this holiday season? What if, for once, we just relaxed and gave ourselves permission to focus on what really matters? Welcome to the Calm Christmas Podcast with me, Beth Kempton. Just like my book of the same name, I hope the Calm Christmas Podcast inspires connection, belonging, self-care, nourishment and joy, and a little bit of festive magic. Hello and welcome to episode 6, all about mindful gifting. This feels very timely for a couple of reasons. Firstly, as you probably know, it's Thanksgiving in the USA today, which seems from over here, from afar, to be such a wonderful holiday, a time to gather with loved ones and give thanks for all the goodness in our lives. And gifts are so often an expression of our gratitude and appreciation for other people, so it seems like a good day to talk about that ahead of the holiday season. And secondly, as you probably also know, we are heading into the Black Friday through to Cyber Monday weekend, which has for the past few years since its invention as a retail festival fallen on the first weekend after Thanksgiving. Although this year some companies have been offering deals all November long. I imagine with the lockdown here in England, a lot of retailers have been absolutely freaking out because Black Friday is usually a huge day in store. And they will be hoping for a lot of online sales, I'm sure. Christmas gifts often centre around the world of retail, and that industry, like many others, is in crisis right now. Here in the UK, this weekend should be seeing independent high streets thronging with customers for Small Business Saturday, but everything is shut due to our lockdown. All non-essential retailers have got closed doors. And the truth is, I feel quite conflicted about gifts this year. On the one hand, I want to support the small business owners and makers and producers who have had such a hard year. And obviously, I do that with my money, spending it there wherever I can. A lot of them are hanging on to their livelihoods by a thread, and they bring so much to our communities and our high streets and in many cases provide essential services in terms of people feeling connected to those around them. So they're really important. On the other hand, I do think gift giving has gotten out of hand in recent years, and the excessive expense and waste troubles me. I think this year is going to be different in many ways. And so on balance today, I'd like to talk about mindful gifting, which is not about buying nothing at all, but which is about first asking whether or not to give a gift. And then if you decide to do so, being really thoughtful about it, including where you buy it from, if it's something that you buy, and how you wrap it and send it, as well as what you actually give. So I thought we could try a little exercise today. So get yourself a piece of paper and cut it into several narrow strips. You're going to need one strip for each person you bought a present for last year, and a few more if there's anyone else you think you might add to that gift list this year. Now I want you to make a ladder with those strips. So the person who you absolutely have to give a present to, at the top, there might be a few of those, you've got immediate family, for example, and the person who it's least essential that you give a gift to this year, at the bottom. Now, this is not a popularity contest. It's not about who you love the most. The question is, how essential is it that you give these people a gift or more gifts this year? So the most essential at the top and the least essential at the bottom, and put all the others in between in order. And then look at each name in turn and ask yourself, do I really need to give this person an individual present, as in a present from me to them? Or is there another way of doing it this year? Could I get together with other people and contribute to a shared present? Or could I forget about presents completely and show them my care in a different way? Perhaps with a long phone call or a card or a toast or a shared flask of coffee and a tin of homemade gingerbread on a pre-Christmas hike. You know, there are so many ways that we can let people know how much they mean to us. For anyone you don't need to buy for, once you've asked yourself that question, you've decided, you know what, actually, there's something else I could do this year apart from, that's not buying them a gift, then move their name off the ladder and make a note of how you might show that you care without giving them an individual gift from you this year. Okay, I challenge you to remove at least one name from your ladder. Then you go back to the ladder and you look at each person's name in turn and ask yourself, okay, if I'm going to give this person a gift, does it need to be something that I buy, or could it be a promise of my time or an experience that I create for them, or perhaps something that I make? And if you do decide it should be something that you buy, of course, you then have various decisions you can make about where you source it from and all of those kinds of things in order to make it more of a mindful choice. And now think about your overall present budget and split it between the people on your gift ladder. And when you start doing this, before you even thinking about going shopping, it really helps to keep costs down and it makes you more creative with what you might give to people. Personally, I have three gifting guideposts. When I have an idea for a present for someone, I ask myself, is it mindful? Is it meaningful? And is it memorable? And I go into this in a lot more detail in my book, Calm Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I share a ton of ideas for mindful gifts. But as a starting point, it's helpful just to ask yourself that. Is it mindful? Is it meaningful? And is it memorable? So what are you telling someone about how you see them with the gift that you choose to give them? That's something is worth pondering over a nice cuppa before you hit the shops or before you hop on your laptop to click and order. I had to write a piece for an American parenting magazine recently, offering advice for gifts for children that are good for the wallet and good for the planet. Of course, it completely depends on the child's age and preferences, but I came up with a few principles rather than specific gift ideas that I thought I'd share with you too, in case they inspire something for you. And of course, most of these principles can work just as well when deciding on gifts for adults. So this year, perhaps you might like to think about these kinds of principles. Gifts that build anticipation. Treasure hunts, spreading out the delivery of presents over the day, that kind of thing. This can make something relatively small feel really special. Gifts that offer a sense of magic or story, like a wooden magic set with a performance by you, or a storybook that you've written that stars them. And think about gifts that are actually surprises they can experience. You know, you could transform a room in your house into a winter wonderland, or turn your garden shed into Santa's grotto, things like that. And gifts that offer your time, skills and attention in the form of vouchers or promissory notes. You know, here's a hammer, it's a physical representation that we're going to build a treehouse together this summer. Or, you know, a small token that indicates a future shared experience, like a jar of homemade marshmallows tied with a label stating the promise of a camping trip together later this year. And of course, these kinds of presents are great for adults too. You might offer someone vouchers to walk their dog or mow their lawn, or, you know, send them a letter every month until you meet again next Christmas. The possibilities are absolutely endless. You could say, I'll pick you up and take you on a 4-hour magical mystery tour and we'll go for a cup of tea and a cake somewhere. Things like that. I mean, how much would you love someone to give you something like that, where what you get is their time and their attention and a lovely experience together? And then gifts people can use or eat. Children love these. Adults love these, especially if they've been handmade by you. And gifts that offer a sense of nostalgia for you, which prompt you to tell them stories about your own childhood. You know, a jigsaw you could do together that might lead you to telling them about how you did jigsaws with your grandfather and what kind of life he led 80 years ago, that kind of thing. And gifts that they can plant and grow, like a Christmas tree for next year. There are so many different ways that we can give people wonderful gifts, including children, without having to go to a shop to buy them. So maybe just spend a little bit of time this year, and it might be something you do already, thinking about how you can bring more of you to the gifts that you give this year. What I love about these kind of gifts so often is you can write them on a piece of paper, put them in a box, wrap it up and give it to someone. So they get the excitement of having a wrapped gift, But then they get the joy of knowing that it's something really special that they can look forward to inside. It's also worth remembering, I think, that taking care of your money is a form of self-care if it reduces your stress now and also when your credit card bill turns up in January. And also, this is something people don't really talk about, but I think it's huge. Every single pound that you spend on presents, especially presents that are not really wanted or needed, and all the other aspects of Christmas, all of the money you spend on that is money that you don't have to put towards your dreams or to support the dreams of those you love. I'll say that again. Every pound, every dollar that you're spending on presents and all the other aspects of Christmas is money you don't have to put towards your dreams. Making the tiny shift from buying one more Christmas pillow to keeping that money to invest in your dreams, taking a course, reading a book, learning how to do something, upskilling to follow a different kind of career, all of those things can make a huge difference over many years. Do you dream of a more creative life, perhaps? Maybe you want to switch careers or grow your business or learn something new next year. Then every time you find yourself picking up another half-priced Christmas jumper or a funny Christmas mug that you say, oh, that'll do for so-and-so, think about the cumulative impact of that kind of shopping on the funds that you're going to have left over to invest in your own growth and well-being or that of your loved ones. I always find this brings things into sharp focus. You know, look at the object you've got in your hand or that you've got in your cart online on a website and say, what am I sacrificing in order to buy this? And it might be that you like, you know, this is important and that's fine. But quite often we realise it's actually not as important as the longer term investment in our own growth and those the growth of those we love. Having said all that, if there are things you know you need for your festive preparations or you really want to buy, of course, the upcoming Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales can save you a huge amount of money if you can avoid being tempted with stuff that you don't need. I know a lot of people don't like the noise of this particular sale, and it does feel like we have offers shoved at us from every direction. But it can be a brilliant time to get a bargain on something that you've been really hoping for, wishing for. Especially on digital offerings, because they can be really heavily discounted with no physical product to send. My company heavily discounts all of our life-changing online courses in the cyber sale. You can find up to 50% off all of our courses at dowhatyouloveforlife.com and at our sister sites, makeartthatsells.com and makeitindesign.com, all through the cyber weekend. If there is a course that you've had your eye on for some time to help you grow your business, build a creative career, write a book, create an online course, become more confident in your choices of what you're doing in your life, if there's a course for that and you've had your eye on it and you can get it for half price, why not? You know, make Cyber Monday work for you. Absolutely. And on the topic of following your heart and doing what you love, I have one final question for you today. What would you really like this year? While you pop that question into your pocket to ponder later, here are some ideas of ways to save money and waste this Christmas, taken from my book Calm Christmas, which is packed with loads more ideas like this for preparing for the celebrations. So of course you can simply give fewer presents, and you can ask for those that you do buy to be shipped with as little packaging as possible and get multiple items shipped together. You can reuse paper from last year and keep paper from this year. And it's really worth trying to avoid sparkly or coated wrapping paper as it cannot be recycled. And most glitter contains microplastics. It's been brilliant to hear that a lot of the big supermarkets in the UK this year have decided that all of their own brand wrapping paper will be completely recyclable. And it's really worth seeking that out. It has been hard in recent years to find that kind of paper, but it's becoming more common. You can use fabric to wrap presents. I absolutely love doing this. Of course, fabric can be reused over and over. And you can tie the corners furoshki style or fold the fabric around your gift and tie it with a ribbon. If you don't know what the word furoshiki means, it's a Japanese word that is used to describe the fabric used in wrapping gifts, carrying bundles of clothes, also for wrapping a bento lunchbox, Weather cloth often doubles up as a table mat. It's a really simple way of using fabric to wrap things. And traditionally, from the times when people would carry their clothes to and from a public bath, furo means bath, and they'd also wrap their clothes while they were in the public bath, so they didn't get mixed up with another person's clothes. But it's very much part of the wrapping culture now. And it's a really wonderful, eco-friendly way to wrap gifts because it looks beautiful. And like I said, the cloth can be reused in many ways. There are lots of videos on YouTube of how to do it. It's spelled F-U-R-O-S-H-I-K-I, furoshiki. And it's a really wonderful thing to get used to. You can wrap all sorts of shapes quite easily with the correct size of fabric. And I often do this with a beautiful linen napkin, for example, that someone can then keep afterwards. Or you can do it with offcuts of fabric if you like making quilts, making clothes, and you've got some lovely little pieces left. And practice wrapping in the fabric and then tying a little knot, and it makes kind of like a handbag that you can carry. It's really wonderful. You can also save paper if you're wrapping with paper by wrapping on the diagonal. It's amazing how that does actually end up using less paper, especially for awkward shaped objects. You can also, this is something I learnt watching people in Japanese stores wrapping things that I'd bought. You can fold and tuck in the sides as you wrap, using the weight of the gift to hold it. So you only end up using like one piece of sticky tape at the end. It's quite complicated to explain on audio, but if you imagine, say you have a book on a piece of paper and you've put it at an angle, so then you fold a corner all the way over the book and tuck it underneath the book. And then if you go to one side, you can fold and tuck carefully. So actually, the paper at the side goes underneath, and then you can do the same on the way around. So you end up with one piece of tape on the top to hold everything together. I'm sure you'll be able to find that on YouTube as well, under examples of Japanese wrapping. But just play around with it. It's really fun. Of course, you can repurpose old maps, newspaper, pages from magazines. That's wonderful for making original presents. I often use my children's drawings, actually, to wrap gifts. You can use baskets, tins, anything you want. You can use uncoated brown craft paper as a neutral base, which then looks gorgeous with sprigs of greenery, raffia, festive ribbons. You can personalise stamps. You can print out photographs. There's a lot of online photo services now that will print your photographs, especially off Instagram, to look like an old Polaroid. That's a wonderful thing to use as a gift tag, for example. So many different things you can do. You can use those beeswax wraps to wrap a gift, because then someone afterwards can wash it and use it to wrap food. And you can actually make those yourself by coating squares of fabric with melted beeswax. That kind of how-to is another thing that you'll easily find online as a really fun alternative way to wrap a small present. You can also be creative with your stationery, you know, recycling old envelopes and shopping bags, collaging onto them with old Christmas cards, tape, stamps, all those kinds of things. And if you are using ribbon, it's really great to be generous with it, because that makes it a lot easier for the recipient to reuse it on presents in the future. And then, of course, if you're mailing it to someone, to reuse packaging material wherever possible. So there's a few ideas, and it can be really fun. You don't have to think of reducing waste as a chore. It can really challenge you to be creative. And did you know that actually research shows people value a gift more highly if it's wrapped carefully and beautifully? So a little bit more attention to the wrapping means that actually you can spend less on the gift and have the same effect. And wrapping is a joy. Well, Mr. K wouldn't agree with that, but my daughters would. I'm training them up nicely and they're very good at wrapping presents now. So I hope you enjoy that part of the process, thinking about the gifts and wrapping them with love to show people that you really care. Okay, so it's time for our get ahead tips, things to do this week. Okay, finalise your budget for gifts and everything else Budget's such a yucky word for a lot of people, but it really makes a difference. And then talking about gifts, as we have been, plan whether to give, what to give, how to give, thinking about ways to economise without feeling miserly. You know, if you've got children, can you team up with all the other parents and buy a shared gift for their teacher instead of everyone spending, you know, £10 each or whatever it is that crazy prices gifts have got to these days for teachers? Actually, if everyone chipped in just a couple of pounds, you can get a wonderful gift from all of you and the teacher doesn't end up with a load of stuff they don't need. For our children's teachers, we often club together to get vouchers for the local gardening centre because the teachers love gardening, that kind of thing. Or maybe you could do Secret Santa with a group of friends instead of all buying each other something, or instead of putting a financial limit on things, because some people don't like saying, oh, you know, no more than £5 for a gift, whatever. Perhaps you could choose a style of present. Like this year, we're only giving books between friends, for example. A low cost but thoughtful present, or maybe something handmade, something to think about this week. And then think about the bits and pieces that you might need to make things work over Christmas. This is a very practical one. Spare batteries, wide silver foil if you're going to be roasting a turkey, crockery, corkscrews and cutlery, chairs for your guests, those kinds of things. If you don't have them, if you can't borrow them, the Black Friday, Cyber Monday sales are a really good time to buy anything that you're going to need. And if you're going to be making your own Christmas crackers, which is so much fun, now's a great time to order cracker snaps because they often sell out come late December, and start saving toilet rolls to make them. And if you don't know how to make your own Christmas crackers, have a quick Google or search on YouTube because there's loads of how-to videos out there. It's super easy and really fun. This is also a great time to do a regular check of things that might need attention around your house. Check your smoke alarms, check the oil in your car and the antifreeze levels, check your medicine cabinet, make sure your medicines are in date, those kinds of things. It's really good to get into the rhythm of doing that every year. Obviously, some of those things need doing more frequently, but this is a good marker in the year to do that. And then think about what you might like to treat yourself to this year. Perhaps time doing something you love, or an investment in something that you want to learn about or something you care about. Okay? And then very specifically, here in the UK, Friday the 4th of December is the last day for Christmas post to Australia and New Zealand. And wherever else in the world you are, worth checking in with the postal service to find out last dates for Christmas posting. So that's it from me this week. I'll be back next week with a very special episode exploring the question, together or not together, which is indeed the question this year. Remember to subscribe to get the next episode as soon as it drops and come and share your festive preparations and reflections with me over on Instagram at Beth Kempton. Until then, take good care. You've been listening to the Calm Christmas Podcast with me, Beth Kempton. For more inspiration and ideas, cozy up with a copy of my book, Calm Christmas and a Happy New Year, a little book of festive joy. It's available now from all good bookshops, or listen to the audiobook read by me. Wishing you a calm Christmas and a happy New Year.